feel much like leaving. You don't want me to go, but all your tamaracks are needling your beauty in the snow. And I'll see you soon at Christmas, a happy holiday. Oh, how you're gonna miss me if I won't go away. I'm overtime, I'm in demand.
Welcome to Folk Roots Radio Overtime. I'm Jan Hall. This week's extra helping of Folk Roots Radio Overtime features Kitchener-based singer-songwriter Jesse Perrant. He will be joining us in the studio for a chat and a few songs. Very much looking forward to that. He's just getting tuned up before he comes in, so he will be with us very shortly. We will be posting this episode to Mixcloud. If you head to mixcloud.com/folkrootsradio, you can find it. You'll also be able to find it on our own website at folkrootsradio.com. So definitely check that out. But before we get there, this is Jesse Perrant and a track from his first Jesse Perrant EP entitled Good to You. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio Overtime. I'm Jan Hall. That was Jesse Parent with a song entitled Good to You from the 2009 Jesse Parent EP. And Jesse is our special guest today. He's in the studio. How are you doing today, Jesse?
I'm good, thanks.
Great to have you join us. Jesse is based in Kitchener.
Yeah.
How long have you been playing music?
In one form or another, as long as I can remember. Since at least I was 18, doing it in bars and clubs and stuff like that. So
I always like to start these conversations because, you know, we have an hour. We're going to play some songs, talk about your music. But it's always good to find out how people got started, because I always wish that I could really get started. And I'm one of these people who thinks, oh, yeah, I really want to play an instrument, but never really get very far with it. And I don't get that frustrated about it because I get to be on the radio and I enjoy doing this. Having a microphone in front of me. I mean, I could sing just now, but I don't really play, and I'm always very envious of people who play. So tell us how you got started.
Well, I had the benefit of having the endless time of childhood to waste time and not practice and then practice and then not practice and get bored with it. But, I mean, I've really been singing or taking part in music. My parents got me into kinder music, which is a kindergarten school music, like an extracurricular program, when I was 5 years old. I've been singing in choirs my whole life. Started on piano when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and then played a little saxophone in high school, and then picked up the guitar when I was about 15. And it's just been my life as far as I can remember. You know, it's been the thing that makes me happiest. So just my whole life I've been playing music.
So did you always feel that this was what you were going to do? Getting back to that idea of put a microphone in me, I will talk into it.
Yeah.
Did you always feel that you wanted to not just learn to play music, but actually get up in public and play it for other people?
I can't remember when I consciously decided, or if I did, that this is what I wanted to do. It's kind of been involuntary. Like, I didn't have a choice. It's just what I have to do. And for most of my 20s, I spent my time working an office job and doing music on the side. And it got to the point where I realized I can't do anything else. I have to do this. I'm not answering your question well.
No, you are. Because, okay. Obviously, it was just, I would imagine it's something that comes from deep down inside that this is what I'm going to be, because...
I've said it a few times. It's a passion and it's a curse, because I tried for so long to do something. I tried to succumb to the pressures and be an adult and do the 9-to-5 thing, and it just didn't work. So this thing, this curse, said, no, you've got to do this. And the last 2 or 3 years I've been at least part-time into music as my source of income, and then for a full year now I've been doing nothing but playing shows and getting out there, and it's been the happiest year of my life for that and other reasons too.
Oh, very good. Well, it is Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's Day show.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this in the archive or from Mixcloud later, you will realize that we did actually tape this on Valentine's Day. Jesse will hopefully play some love songs with us. And so is this your partner in the studio? We need to introduce Denise.
I didn't think she expected that, but yes, the love of my life is in the room with us.
Oh, that is wonderful, you know? It's probably the second best thing to actually having Jesse propose to Denise in the studio.
But, you're about a month too late.
So. Oh, that is very beautiful. That's great. So, it's funny we talk about getting into music, because I interviewing a lot of people about their music, and I'm always fascinated in this part of the conversation how you got started. But I also meet people who, for one reason or another, have never been able to get really into their music until they stop doing something else. I was talking to a wonderful singer-songwriter from the UK just a few days ago who was saying that they actually were a head teacher in a school for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And then at the end of that period, they decided that, okay, now I have the time to focus on their music. And they're producing great music. But you think, you've had to go through this other life first. So I'm always encouraged by people who really make that commitment, because it's hard when you're starting off, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's really that's really what it was for me, is it got to the point where I realized that if I really wanted to do this, I need to put a lot more time into it. and I just didn't have time for something on the side anymore. So whether you're a 40-year-old veteran teacher or, you know, an 18-year-old, if you want to do it, do it. I mean, I dove in head first. I took the risks. I'm keeping myself alive, which is good. I'm a little overfed, if I do say so myself. So, you know, I'm still here, and I'm, you know, there's always stress in life. There's always worries and anxiety, but they've shifted from one column to the other. And now, I don't wake up unexcited to start my day. I wake up looking forward to what I'm doing and you know, loving everything I do all the time. So,
well, we have a guitar.
Yes, we do.
It looks like we have harmonicas as well, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I think we should go ahead and play something.
Sure.
Otherwise, people will get a little frustrated when I mention that you're going to play songs on the radio and we just talk. So what are you going to play for us?
Well, I think it's Valentine's Day, so I'll play one of the first love songs I ever wrote. So this is something from that same album with Good to You on it. It's a song called By My Side.
And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
It's my fault. I didn't have my harmonica ready, Jan.
Oh, that's okay. Well, you know, I can probably talk to Denise about the frustrations of living with someone making music as a living.
You know what? I don't think I've ever had someone more supportive. It's great. So I don't know if I want to give you a microphone. All right, here we go. Soapbox, don't want to hear you talk. You're wasting all my days away. Maybe tomorrow someone will come for you. Remember, other people get lonely too. Somewhere out there, someone wants to be held. Somewhere out there, someone's in living hell. But all I want is you by my side. You're always dreaming about the one you love. But they don't even notice when you're around. Stop your searching for someone new. Just turn and look and see how much I love you. Somewhere out there, someone wants to be held. And somewhere out there, someone's in a living hell. But all I want is you by my side. Somewhere out there, someone wants to be held. And somewhere out there, someone's in a living hell. But all I want is you by my side. All I want is you by my side. Yes, all I want is you by my side.
That's Jesse Perrant live on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today. That is a song called By My Side. You can find that on the first Jesse Perrant EP, which
yes.
I think came out in 2009, right?
Yes, it did. Yeah,
that's so. A beautiful, beautiful song.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about your songwriting. I mean, are you someone who works on a melody first and then thinks about where you want to go with lyrics, or are you somebody who carries a lyric book round or thinks about the theme you want for a song and then works from there?
It changes all the time. I mean, it comes from different places. At first, those first batch of tunes, including that song, was written very much by an idea and a melody, like the line, "All I want is you by my side," you know, and then singing a tune to that and then really building a song around one line and one idea. But in the past, you know, those songs were written, some were 7, 8 years ago now, right? Because it was a few years before the actual album came out after writing the song. So now these days, it's anything from, you know, a chord progression that I play while I'm practicing, that the music end can spark the songwriting. And sometimes I'll actually, you know, force myself to write down a story before I write down any music. So it comes from lots of different places. And sometimes the song is like verbal diarrhea and it just comes out really quickly and I have a song in a half an hour. And sometimes, you know, there's songs I'm still not finished years later that haven't seen the light of day yet that might one time see the light of day that I just haven't got around to tweaking and finessing. So
would you describe yourself as being prolific as a songwriter, or do you find sometimes you have to work at it? You mentioned that sometimes you can produce a song in 30 minutes, but other times it's a bit longer.
I wish I wrote more. There was a spell a few years ago. I didn't write anything for a full year. And I actually wrote a love song coming out of that spell. And I had a good year of writing this year. But, you know, I'll go through spits and spats. I'm trying to train myself to write weekly or daily or put something down on paper all the time. But sometimes, you know, I'll go a month not writing. And then, you know, all of a sudden in a weekend, I'll write, you know, 5, 6, 7 songs. So it really comes and goes in waves. But I'm trying to focus that and really be a little bit more disciplined and force myself to write on a more regular basis. So
what are your favorite subjects to write about? You know, I was pulling a lot of love songs together because it's Valentine's Day. And it's a tricky balance because I could have done like a whole Valentine's Day show. There are masses of songs out there that are about love.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, whether people talking about how great it is to be in love, people talking about the heartbreak, people talking about unrequited love. There's a fantastic array of material out there. Mm-hmm. I always wonder, you know, what subjects people gravitate to. Is it because it's an emotional subject, it's easy to write about? Is that why people like to write love songs?
I think love is the – I don't want to say easiest, even though it might be, but it's probably the most common thing to write about. The most common ground in humanity is relationships and love and hate. So I think it's – not easy, but it's natural to write about that because it's so immersive. It's in life, every moment of your life, there's emotion and love and, you know, fear. And so, you know, any time in my life, I've either been thinking about someone I love or missed opportunities or, you know, so it becomes really easy to write about that. And in fact, my first record is very heavy in love and relationships. And that is something I do like to write about. But these days I've gotten away from writing about just being in love, and I'm trying to write more about other sides of relationships, you know, family. And I'm also getting into writing fiction. I like to write stories. There's a song that's going to be on my next record called Wanted in Chicago, and it's a completely a fictional tale that was written just because my friend I was in Chicago a few years ago on business and I got back and we went out to have some drinks and my friend told these ladies a story about me that I was wanted in Chicago for some ridiculous...
That sounds like the name of a band.
Yeah. So
Wanted in Chicago.
After his terrible story, I thought, thanks, Dave, you just ruined our chances with those ladies. But I got home that night and I said, well, Wanted in Chicago is a pretty neat idea for songs. So that was really one of the first songs I wrote completely fictionally and just storytelling. And so I'm also getting into that too. And these days my writing seems to be personal experience, taking personal experience and writing about that personal experience, but creating a fictional tale around that personal experience. So maybe almost as a protection to be not so honest, you know.
Well, but that sounds very much like really stretching yourself. I mean, you know, the fact that you're starting to think about exploring other ways of creating songs.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, everyone, a lot of people share the same experiences as they go through life. They have common experiences. And the strength of a songwriter is your unique or any writer, whether you're writing poetry or music or books or whatever, is your unique perspective on that experience. Because, you know, you and I can both eat a hamburger, but your unique perspective on that experience will be different
today,
than...
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Probably shouldn't be mentioning food.
But do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So you have to pull from your personal experiences and bring that into your writing.
Let's play another song. What are you going to play for us this time?
Well, I'm going to play some new stuff since I do have a new CD coming out May 1st. So I'm just going to do a little tuning here. So I've got a CD coming out with my full band and a lot of great players, and this is one of the songs. There's an acoustic video for this on YouTube right now, actually, because back in the fall, I got together with a nice man from Guelph, actually. His name's Nathaniel Day. He does latent image design. He does videos, and so...
They do great videos.
Yeah, yeah. So he filmed a couple new songs as, like, previews for the record, and this is one of them. This is... once again, stretching the horizons of my songwriting, and this song is more about wanting more out of life than the things that used to be good enough for you.
And it's nothing to do with Chicago.
No, nothing to do with Chicago.
What is the title of it?
Something More.
Something to give me strength to carry on. Is there peace after the pain? Because I long for something more. can turn off your mind. You can lay down and cry. You can live out this life, but I long to find something more. That's
Jesse Perrant with a new song on Folk Roots Radio Overtime this morning. I'm Jan Hall. That was a song entitled Something More from the forthcoming album that's coming out in May?
Third coming.
Yeah. Do you have a name for the album yet?
About Time.
About Time. Wonderful. Yeah. It was interesting when I was listening to the chord progression on that and the way you... I mean, that would make a super instrumental as well. Do you play instrumentals at the same time? I kind of wondered when I was listening to the... It's funny, and it reminded me of some of the instrumentals I've heard Bruce Copeland do.
Oh, that's very complimentary. Thank you.
Yeah.
In fact, learning some Bruce Copeland inspired me to write a couple of songs like that. So, I have a couple... ideas that are on the back burner that I'm toying around with doing some instrumental songs, but nothing that's seen the light of day at this point. But it's always there.
That's one of the things I like about his music, because, you know, he would throw one in at the end of an album or something. And listening to you play, I thought, I could sit there and listen to you play.
Oh, thank you.
Just instrumental. But that's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Thanks a lot.
The new album, is it a full-length album or is it going to be an EP?
There's going to be 12 songs on the record. Yeah. So
tell us a little bit about the way you play, because my impression is that you are a singer-songwriter, you can play solo shows, but you also have a band, which I think is the Stony Lonesome, right?
No, that's a buddy's band of mine named Steve Parkinson.
I thought
that was
Steve
talented.
Parkinson's
band. Yeah.
What's the name of your band?
Well, we just go by the Jesse Parent Band when we play together, so okay. I don't have a fancy special name for the group of guys.
I thought that was Steve
bastards.
Parkinson's band, and
I think on the poster, on we played a show together last month, and it was a great show, and Steve Parkinson and the Stony Lonesome, they're talented guys, and it was awesome to share the stage. But the poster kind of looked like Jesse Parent and the Stony Lonesome, which is...
Well, that's what I kind of wondered.
I was like, this might be misleading. But yeah, they're wonderful, and the guys that I have in my band right now are great. And I love... I've got two heads, right? I really love doing the heartfelt, very personal solo acoustic from the heart shows. I played a show last weekend in Blythe at the Queen's Bakery, and, you know, very small crowd, very quiet, very intimate, and I love that. But at the same time, I also love getting together with my band and rocking out and, you know, full amps to 11, electric guitars, like having a good time. So I just kind of made the decision going into my second CD that I didn't necessarily want to be... I don't want to say pigeonholed because that has a negative connotation to it, but I didn't want to just necessarily be a folk artist, but I do love that side of me. I wanted to do the Neil Young thing. I wanted to have the Harvest and the Crazy Horse, and I don't want to have to say no to either at any time. So my first record was very folk and very alt country, and my second record added some electric guitars, and this third record is kind of like a combination of both. And I feel like with this CD, I'm really coming into my sound. Finally, I found like my wheelhouse, for lack of a better term.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because we started this conversation talking about the fact that it's sometimes a challenge for people to really commit to their music and be able to make it their full-time career. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can play solo or play in a band situation obviously gives you huge flexibility from the point of view of shows.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The versatility is a must, because there's venues that can can't support a band and they only want one person, or you know, they're just a coffee shop, but there's places like the Horseshoe Tavern or the Cork Hall in Kitchener, or, you know, that don't do well for single people. They do better for, you know, the full band. So the versatility is important, especially for a guy that doesn't have much talent. Being self-deprecating, but you know, my strength is songwriting and performing and connecting and making friends. So my goal is to get out there and play as many shows as I can, and being able to do that solo is very important. Whereas there's guys like bass players and drummers and guitarists that are talented players that they might not necessarily be frontmen, but they can make a living playing with guys like me and, you know, filling in. So anyway, I talk a lot. I'm nervous. Sorry.
I think that's really important. We're going to go back to some music in a few seconds, but I do want to steer the conversation a little bit more into the live experience, because you will be playing a show with Craig Cardiff later this month.
Yes.
It's on February the 27th, which is a Friday evening at the Burns Hauf in Cambridge. It's interesting because you mentioned about you like to play those songs that are, you know, thoughtful and meaningful lyrics, and Craig is a classic for that. I mean, every one of Craig's songs is a song where you want to hang on every word.
It's very humbling, to this opportunity that's been presented to me to play and open for a guy that I've been loving his music for years and looking up to for years, and learning from without ever meeting him, almost a mentor without, you know, ever actually knowing him, because he's a guy that I emulate, that I want to be. You know, he travels and he plays music and he connects with people and gets his music in people's hearts and minds, and I, now all of a sudden I get to share the stage with him. It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. We'll talk a bit more about the shows and the live experience a little later in this interview, but let's play another song. What would you like to play for us this time?
Well, I think I'll do another love song. It's Valentine's Day, right?
It is Valentine's Day. And yeah. I wanted to, we did just mention the Craig Cardiff show. I want to put a special shout out to Carrie and Ted.
Yeah.
Because I know that they are listening.
Yes. Hi, guys.
They're a couple that I think, I'll be honest, we all aspire to be, because they're so romantic.
Yes, they are.
And so, guys, this is Jesse Perron playing for you a love song. It's a positive love song.
Well, to just give it a little bit of a backstory, this is the song that broke me out of a year-long writer's block. And the writer's block I've attributed to falling in love. So that's very apropos for today. And while I was falling in love, I found it, I had lost my muse, because up until that point, I had written songs out of heartache instead of out of love. And I had to teach myself how to write in love. And man, I'm getting so schmaltzy right now.
It's
one of those days. Yeah, it's one of those days. So this is entitled My Last Love Song.
And this is especially for Carrie and Ted on Folk Roots Radio Overtime.
Been so long since I picked up this pen. About time I be writing again. But a dog only needs shelter from the rain, and a heart only needs a love song when in pain. This will be my last love song. Don't waste your breath. Well, I know that I was wrong. Now that I've found everything I've wanted so long. A woman has stolen my heart. Some men might have run from the start. Well, this life can leave you restless and unsure, but everything makes sense when I'm with her. There was a time when I needed a song like a junkie needs a hit. Now that I share my heart in my home, I no longer need a fix. I no longer need a fix. Oh well, maybe one last fix. Won't you give me one last fix?
That's Jesse Perrant live on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today with a song entitled My Last Love Song. Very, very beautiful. It's kind of neat to hear that, how these sort of songs can help you get out of a writer's block. And imagine when you are in a writer's block and, you know, I mean, I don't have a lot of experience here. I'm just trying to work this through. But I imagine it probably helps when you're in writer's block to try and get to an area where it's really coming from inside. Does that really help in a breakthrough?
Yeah, you know what? I think the easiest way to write is from the heart. And without trying too hard. Sometimes you try too hard and all of a sudden this wall comes up, and sometimes you just need to write from the heart and just let it come out. And I don't know how to explain it. It sounds so cheesy, but it's true. You know, sometimes just stop thinking and just write and something will come from it, because writer's block can be so frustrating. It can be so perpetuating and it can seem like it's never ending. And that was the longest period in my life that I didn't write anything. So sometimes I'll go a month and that's fine. Like, yeah, I'll just get busy with life and that's fine. But the year that hurt. So it was nice to come out of that with that tune and be on my way to recording a lot of songs and writing a lot of songs for this new record. So
when you play live, particularly where you may be playing more in a solo situation, is that a really good opportunity to try out some new songs that you're developing? I mean, do you tend to do that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because I don't like to create songs in a vacuum of my room at home. So it's nice to get it out there and perform it and iron out the kinks. And you don't tell the audience that you're ironing out the kinks. You just say, hey, this is a new song, check it out. But while I'm playing it and while I'm singing it, I'm thinking to myself, oh, that didn't work. That worked. Okay, I like that. Oh, maybe I'll change that here. So I've gotten to a point where I can hold on to a song for a long time before releasing it. You know, I've probably got a few albums worth of music that I haven't even released that I consider that I need to work on still and iron out those kinks. Because, as I tell my band, if you play something right now and we record something that you don't like the sound of, it doesn't matter until that CD's out. What you played can change. What we wrote can change. Even after that CD's out, it can change live, you know, like it's not, the song isn't set in stone, you know, it can morph, it can grow, it can evolve. So there's always opportunity to make the song better.
This new album that will be coming out in May, mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the recording of that? I mean, it's always good to know what sort of process people go through, because, again, that can cost, you know, there's significant costs are associated with trying to get that album out.
There certainly can be.
And that obviously will have a big impact on the way you go about recording. So talk about your experience.
Okay. Well, this is the largest undertaking of recording that I've done so far. This will be the largest instrumentation of any record that I've done, my third. And along the way, after I released the second record, I met a gentleman by the name of Corey Kennedy. He runs CK Productions, and he does a lot of live recording, so church recording, live performances. And he came out, and he actually did a recording of our CD release for the second record. So in the vault, I have a live concert recorded that I haven't released yet, because I'm still sitting on it and waiting, not sure what I want to do with it. But then he did a couple videos for me last year in our basement, and I really loved the sound, his mix that he did, that he created, this earthy, warm sound that he added to my music. So I decided that I wanted to use him. So that's the basis of it. And because he was mobile, he can record anywhere, I thought, well, maybe I won't go to a studio this time. Maybe I'll find somewhere unique. So I started looking at places in around the Kitchener area that had artistic value or uniqueness, and I had a handful of places, and then I finally settled on the Homer Watson House and Art Gallery, which is the oldest operating art gallery in Canada, I believe, possibly the world, but anyway, at least Canada, and that's just down the street from my home, and they have a beautiful art gallery that you can go in any time. They have set hours weekly, but they're open, I think, 7 days a week. And they have this beautiful garden studio where students learn how to paint and people paint. And we rented that out for a weekend, and we did a large chunk of the bass, drums, and guitar for the album that weekend, and that was sort of built the foundation. And ever since then, it's been a variety of places. The attic in my bass player's home, we recorded some bass and guitar parts and vocal parts. I've done a lot of recording at my home. I've set up a studio in my home now that I'm learning how to record. And then, so it's been a very eclectic process, lots of different locations. So I'm having trouble figuring out what I'm going to put in the liner notes as to where this was recorded. At my house, that might be what it reads. But lots of different places. It's been a fun process and a learning experience too.
It does sound fun, you know, and I think when we think about how the music industry is changing and, you know, how less emphasis on the recorded physical product and more digital, when you do a radio show like I do, and particularly preparing a show for today, because it was basically all music, I wanted to cram as much in there as possible.
Yeah.
But you can't help feel that a lot gets lost when people just go online and download a song and they don't realize everything else that went on. They don't really get a feel for who played on it. They don't get a feel for where it was recorded, who produced it, and everything else. And sometimes I think, God, that's the bit that's going to get lost here.
Yeah.
Which is why I like to talk about either – I love tribute albums because they can be really interesting because mm-hmm. you can learn about why there was created a tribute album. And I also love talking about, you know, songs from the past. I do this Guilty Pleasure bit where it's a song that's, you know, that you still love or you think other people would find it unfashionable. And you get some really neat songs, actually. I should hit you up for one.
Yeah,
after this.
Yeah, sure.
But a lot of that gets missed. And I always think it's the sad bit about the way things are changing, that people don't realize all that effort that went into producing that song or that album.
It's a shame. You know, I don't want to tell any, music is subjective, and that's part of the reason I love it. And I don't want to tell anybody how to enjoy their music, but for me, a large part of falling in love with music and popular music when I did, you know, in my early teens, was reading liner notes and holding the physical artwork and appreciating all that extra stuff that went into it. And yeah, maybe at one time it was just a promotional thing but it evolved into this artwork and was really added value when you were listening and learning. And I loved reading about who recorded it and who played it and
the
lyrics and stuff like that. And, you know, now these days, so much less thought is put into that, but it's still important to me. So even though my album might not contain an 18-page booklet with liner notes and a photo album, it'll still have a lot of detail and love put into it for whoever wants to purchase it. Because I find I still do sell a lot of CDs, but I do a lot of online too. But I notice that a lot of people that are buying the CDs at my shows are 30 and up. They're not the young kids. Every once in a while, a 20-year-old surprises me, and I go, "Yeah, you're cool. That's awesome." But most of the time, it's our generation that is buying the CDs. So,
yeah, it's interesting the way it's changed. We're going to try and squeeze one more live song in, and then we'll have a chat sure. again about the shows. I do yeah. want to talk about your live experience locally. So what are you going to play for us this time?
I'm a little bit torn, but I think I'm going to do another new tune. Just because they're so fresh in my mind, you know? They're the songs, they're my newborns that I love the most. So every year I go... Since we're going to do Blood Red Skies, and that's a love song, I'll do one more non-love song, but I think we got our love song quotient for today.
Yeah, I think we've done pretty
okay.
good.
Okay. So I go camping in Bon Echo Provincial Park every summer with my close friends, and finally, after about 6 years, 7 years of doing that, I wrote a song about it. Just a beautiful place of lakes and trees and Canadian Shield, and this is just a song about that, and it's nice to think about it in these cold winter days.
And what's it called?
This is called Bon Echo. Another day sets on the lake. The sun falls asleep, chasing all the clouds away. Break out your guitars and play. As you beg the sun to stay, the music's so loud that the echoes can be heard all year round. Oh, oh, oh. And let's go get lost before it's in late. Make your wishes at night. There's plenty of stars to go around. Well, it's okay to wanna hide. We'll sleep outside tonight. Stars make no sound, but their echoes can be heard all year round. Oh, oh, oh. Guide your boat across the lake. Leave your troubles in your way. A laughter so loud that the echoes can be heard all year round. Oh, oh, oh.
That's Jesse Parent live on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today with a song, a beautiful song entitled Bon Echo. I love that.
Thank you.
That's really good. That's on the new album as well?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. Remind us again what the new album is going to be called.
It's going to be called About Time.
Okay, and that comes out, you said May the 3rd, is that right?
First.
May the 1st.
Yeah.
Are you having a CD launch for that? Or
yes,
it's
going to be at the Boathouse in Kitchener.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the live experience. I do want to make sure we get all the details in about this show with Craig Cardiff
yes.
on February the 27th. But I also want to talk about playing live generally, because I know you do some work with Cambridge Live Music, which are a wonderful local group.
Absolutely.
Really trying to encourage more live music within Cambridge and obviously the wider area beyond that. Talk a little bit about that, how important it is for people to support live music that's local?
I just think it adds so much culture and value to a community to have live music and somewhere people can go to get away from the hustle and bustle. And for a group like Cambridge Live Music to spend their time volunteering and promoting it is just amazing. In my time in that area, you know, Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge, I grew up in Cambridge, I've never seen such a grassroots movement of a lot of people supporting Cambridge Live Music, and it's a great thing to be a part of. To see people enjoying it from a fan basis, venue basis, artist basis, everyone's coming together as one, it's really great.
Well, I've got to say I've been very impressed with the organization that's gone into to really kicking off this group. And it's so exciting from my point of view, being in radio, to see these groups, you know, cropping up all over. I mean, we have each individual city and area now has its own group promoting live music. And yeah. I think we talked a little bit about how people are getting a little divorced from the music making process because it's all digital. But when you're actually going to shows and, you know, seeing the artist, buying music from the artist is an absolutely wonderful thing. Let's talk about this show on the 27th. Give everybody the details for that.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity to come see the solo show and really what it's all about. It's at the Burns Hauf, as you pronounced it correctly, in Cambridge on February 27th. Starts at 8 o'clock. You can get tickets at Craig Cardiff's website, which I believe is craigcardiff.com or craigcardiff.ca. And you can also buy tickets at the door. And it's just going to be, I'll be playing an opening set for Craig. And it'll be a night of intimate performances and storytelling and really connecting with and becoming one as a room. It's all, I love that aspect of playing solo of, you know, making friends with the people in the audience, not just performing and feeding them with music, but everyone becoming a group of people together and enjoying the night. So,
well, Craig does put on a wonderful show. I think I'm so excited for you because it's clear from the conversation we've had today how excited you are to be able to spend the time on the bill and really get to know him. I think going to be a fantastic event. Again, remind everybody the date. That's Friday, February the 27th. What time does it start?
8 o'clock.
And there is a good Facebook page as well. So please, you know, check out Craig Cardiff in Cambridge on Facebook. Go to your event listing if you were within the local area.
Absolutely.
And you can get all the information on that. Jesse, it's been an absolute pleasure having you join us today. We're going to finish with another song. We're going to go to the album The Uncertainty that came out 2012, and I'm going to let you introduce it.
This is a song about the girl that got away. It's called Blood Red Skies. It's just a simple love song of longing.
That's
Thanks,
wonderful.
Jan. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. You've been listening to Folks Roots Radio Overtime. I'm Jan Hall. We'll see you next time. We'll leave you with Jesse Perrant with Blood Red Skies from the 2012 album, The Uncertainty. Thanks again.
She was born and raised a good Christian, with a mother that loved her and a father that taught her well. At the end of the summer, I can't make her love me, and maybe it's just as well. So go ahead and say your goodbyes, and in the end everybody cries, but I won't be the one who's crying tonight as the sun sets on the red sky. She's done with screaming, she'll be out on the road and never looking back again. She loves this life spent alone, with nothing but the memory of a mother and a childhood friend. So go ahead and say your goodbyes, and in the end everybody cries, but I'll sets on the red skies. Mm-hmm. said something.